98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
The Arizona Project is the biggest story in sports, at least this side of the NFL draft. Think about it. 30 major league teams moving to Arizona to begin the 2020 season, playing games without fans, sequestered, mitigating all risk of turning the valley into a COVID hotspot. So why are so many people seemingly against the idea? I've seen people object to the idea of importing 1,200 young athletes from all over the country. Look, in theory, unless you attempt to get near these ballparks, you won't even know they're in Arizona. More to the point, don't you want to be ground zero for something historic, attaching our state to the annals of Major League Baseball for the rest of forever? I mean, how do you want to spend eternity? I know the optics are a problem for some people. I also know that perceptually, you can't do anything right in times like these. Outside Arizona, I'm sure there's a little bit of jealousy. Like, why can they have baseball when we can't? Shouldn't Arizona shut down like the rest of us? Weren't their nail salons open until last Saturday? Aren't their politicians all idiots and their golf courses still open? Why don't they have to follow the rules? Well, we are and we do. Nothing changes for any of us other than we become a symbol of hope and a pride to the nation, maybe even the world. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Chapman BMW doing a real cool thing right now. They're bringing the test drive to you. All you have to do is go to ChapmanBMW.com, set up the time, pick a car. They will bring the ultimate driving machine to your house. That's ChapmanBMW.com.
The Major League Baseball pick.
Yeah.
You sent a group text last night, which made me very happy.
You did. I did. Yes,
you
I did. Yes,
did.
I did. Yes.
You sent a group text that said, on the recommendation of the show, that you watched the movie Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
And it took me about 15 seconds to start laughing out loud. It was as good as you guys recommended, so thank you for the recommendation. That was excellent. I have rarely seen a movie that spoofed the whole music biopic or biopic as well as that one did. Right down to the language, right near the end, I remember there was a part right at the end where they were trying to get Dewey to write a song, and there was a line, and I flagged this. If somehow you're able to sing a song now, bringing these boys together whom you've never even met, and make something so personal, so new, that the whole world takes notice, and your life is never the same again, I'm telling you right now, I don't think that's going to happen. It's like, because you look at this, the beauty of that movie, man, it's like you watch Bohemian Rhapsody, okay, and the way they distort the truth. There's a scene in Bohemian Rhapsody where they come in and they're all arguing. They're in each other's face, right? And then suddenly the bass player goes, hey, guys, check this out. Dun, 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 dun. And then suddenly this great moment, right, and they start clapping. Yeah, and it's like so stupid.
They go from fighting over Freddie being wired and late again into creating one of the most iconic songs of all
right,
time.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm here to say that Vinny and Jarrett, they're money when it comes to recommending good movies.
Well, Eric's a big Walk Hard fan, too.
All right.
He says it's one of his favorites. So I'm glad you watched it, man.
Yeah, it was a great,
and that
great
never happens on this show.
I know.
We always get these movie recommendations. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. You need to watch this. You need to watch this.
Right.
It took me, I think, 4.5 years to finally watch A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, and I think that was worth it for you.
It was.
Yeah, this was definitely worth it for me. This was really great. So what's next? Okay, Fletch. I'll watch Fletch.
By tomorrow?
I can do that.
If you watch Fletch, I might pop in the DVD tonight and watch Fletch again.
Okay. We can do a Fletch movie review.
Fletch way too late movie review tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, so
put it on the calendar, Jerry.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, if all our listeners, very few people I've met understand good movies and good TV better than you two yo-yos. So thank you for that recommendation.
Yeah, but Jarrett likes wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that.
All right.
So that was really, really good.
I think that movie is absolutely hilarious. And Tim Meadows stole pretty much every scene that he was in.
Oh, it was unbelievable. That was
dude, you don't want no part of this.
That was so good.
I think I do.
That was so great.
My favorite line in the movie is at the beginning where he says to his wife, "I think I'm doing pretty good for a 15-year-old with a wife and a baby."
Yeah. No, it was so funny, you know, and then the minute he starts singing a song, everybody's like just taking their shirts off. It's so ridiculous. It was really, really well done.
All right, back to the Major League
Highly recommended.
Yes, I might watch that one again, too. I got plenty
great.
Of time.
It was great.
Major League Baseball, the return plan. Jeff Passan wrote about it last night on ESPN. Now, Major League Baseball did, in case you missed the follow-up today, they did issue this whole pump the brakes kind of thing, and again, their statement said... just to catch you up to speed, in case you don't know, a plan is being talked about, early stages are being talked about to bring all 30 Major League Baseball teams to Arizona to continue the season in what they're calling a biosphere, a bubble, to get as many games as possible in. The statement from the sport today, MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that would allow play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it is safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as a potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association. The health and safety of our employees, players, fans, and the public at large are paramount, and we are not ready at this time to endorse any particular format for staging games in light of the rapidly changing public health situation caused by the coronavirus. So that was the statement today. We also had Buster Olney on not too long ago, and you asked him pretty much right at the beginning of the interview, Bick, what do you think the biggest problem in all of this is, potentially?
I think trying to create a biodome situation with the players would be the most challenging thing. From what I understand, basically it would be about 50 members for each of the teams. So you'd have 1,500 to start with, and then you start adding in media, and I don't know if groundskeepers and other people. And how do you keep all those people safe? And how do you assure players that they're going to be okay? And then you have the questions of how about all the baseball personnel who have underlying medical conditions that have been referred to so often in this, those people being more vulnerable, managers, coaches, even players who've had past medical histories where if, one person gets infected in that group of 1,500 to 2,000 people, how do you contain the damage?
Now, you had prefaced the question by saying, do you think this whole family aspect to all of it, and it's come up as an argument from a lot of different people after, this plan surfaced, Bick, is players themselves saying, yep, 4.5 months potentially sequestered playing baseball in a biosphere-type bubble, for lack of a better term. There's not an actual physical bubble. I'm not signing up for that. I don't want to do it. But Buster didn't think that was the biggest problem, just the creation of that atmosphere to keep it safe and logistical. That on itself, if Major League Baseball decided to do that why would they decide to do that in normal circumstances? But that's a huge undertaking in its own right.
Listen, the way I look at it, if they decided to do this, if they came out and said, we want to do this for 4.5 months, I would say you're nuts. I don't think you could press and push the idea of playing games without fans in this kind of situation that long. I really don't. I think you could do it for a shorter period of time and capture a lot of interest. If I was Major League Baseball, what I would look at, and you're right, May is coming up sooner than you think. Today is April 7th already.
Yeah.
So it's going to be here before you know it. But let's say they decided to shoot for, okay, let's test everybody. Let's pay for the test privately, if you can, to avoid that whole thing. And then let's get people down there. Let's make this thing happen. Let's start games by the middle of May. I think for May 1st is probably a little bit too early. I would just say let's shoot for 2 weeks, from May 15th to July 15th. and see what happens after that. Or maybe just to the beginning of July. I wouldn't try to sell it as a that long of a thing, because then maybe you do get into the ideas of that's just inhumane. You can't ask me as a Major League Baseball player to live this kind of existence. But I think that if you were going to sell Major League Baseball players on, A, this is the only way you're getting paid, B, you're doing something very important, it's going to be a very hard commitment for you, but in doing so, you can become a symbol of hope for the entire nation, I think you could frame it in a way that it would make sense. Now, you start doing the numbers, and we did this yesterday, when you start adding the amount of people you need to do this.
Yeah, that, you heard Buster say it in that soundbite.
Yeah.
It adds up very quickly.
It does. It really, really, because I didn't even think of groundskeepers, and you're going to have somebody to
especially
sweep the field.
If you're playing 2-3 games a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the model of having Chase Field is sort of the real hub of nationally televised games. There's going to be a lot that goes into that. I think the downplaying of what might happen at the satellite facilities, maybe you can play games 8 a.m., get off the field by 11, and be done with it for the day.
Well, let me ask you this. What does the grass on those outdoor stadiums even look like in the summer?
Well, most of them are used for Arizona Fall League, Arizona Rookie League. Once the draft happens in June, most of those minor league facilities are used for games at night, so they are kept up.
Okay.
There is a level of maintenance there.
Yeah.
But the timing of it is what stands out to me. And Buster made reference to the Jesse Rogers line from the article on ESPN that's asking all these questions and trying to answer them. The question, how far along are Major League Baseball and the MLBPA on this possibility? Jesse Rogers wrote, one source described the idea as being in the top of the first inning with all of the logistical things that need to be worked out. The sides had one 40-minute phone call, but with little details attached. So about that time, I asked Buster Olney, okay, if you're in the top of the first, when do you got to get to the bottom of the ninth to get as close to a full season as you can? And here was his answer.
Season, then you almost certainly would have to start by June 1st. And I tell you this, at the team level, there's a lot of skepticism that they could come up with something to do that, especially in the face of, you know, so many questions about keeping people, personnel, players healthy.
At this point, and again, I don't have any inside information on this, but a lot of people have always used that phrase, to play as many games as possible. We told you about Mariano Rivera's stance of, you know, if it was 60 games, that's not enough. It's not enough to crown a true champion. These are dire circumstances we're in. But I would be shocked. Right now, I think for me, the shocking number is if Major League Baseball got in more than 110 games this season.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think this is going to be much. I think the idea of presenting something condensed sooner rather than later holds the most value to everybody, because the idea of getting fans together again, that's something that's going to require a lot of just time and patience. And I don't know if that changes before the summer. Yeah, I'm curious what it would look like on television. I think that people would like it, but at what point in time would people go, okay, this is just too weird? Would people start tuning out at any point in time?
I don't think it will feel that different on TV. Baseball of all the sports.
I don't think so either, and I really love the idea of, and Buster echoed this, and I'm hearing this from national baseball writers who have all the right people on their contact lists, that they really are committed to, okay, if we're going to do this, then let's tweak the game. Let's try out some new stuff.
Yeah.
I really like where they're going with this.
Yeah, here was that answer about, you know, how different it could look when it comes back.
I do think that when it does come back, it's going to be a different-looking product. As one team official said to me, they feel like this is a chance for baseball to rebrand itself. You're going to see microphones on the field, players wearing microphones like we did in that all-access week. If they do have doubleheaders, there'll be seven-inning games, which is something I think eventually baseball would want to get to a decade from now. You might see universal DH. You might see an electronic strike zone, as Jeff wrote in his story last night. I think Jameson Taillon of the Pirates said to me last week that, you know, right now in those conference calls they're having, no idea is considered to be a bad idea. They are absolutely trying to figure out a way to make the product as appealing as possible to a captive audience, which is just starving for any kind of distraction right now.
Now, one, if they let me on those calls, I bet I could come up with some bad ideas. I'm just saying that. But we haven't even, and that part, I'm not gonna lie. That part excites me. Now, I'm not as gung ho on changing the structure of baseball as much as you are. But if they got to, you know, extra innings reform, or they got to 7-inning doubleheaders like they do in the minor leagues, I think that would be a good logical first step to me. Thinking outside the box when the sport is in a healthier spot, to me, is an exciting proposition. But one thing that we haven't talked about, Bick, and Buster Olney did talk about this too, Major League Baseball is standing to be hit hardest financially from all of this. I got an article from Joel Sherman on New York Post. He's kind of poking all the holes that, you know, he has in these proposals. And he writes, how will players be paid? If there are no gate receipts, luxury boxes, concessions, parking, etc., Major League Baseball will be losing a substantial amount of its revenue for this season. Some of it could be made up if TV networks, hungry for live sports again, provide additional payouts to show a greater number of games. Still, owners are facing substantial losses either way. One club official said, say a team is losing $70 million this year, and to play, it knows it would lose another $10 million to $20 million without fans. And all that comes with that, why would they approve the plan without the players taking a cut? Conversely, players could argue that by returning sooner than later, they are playing a risk-reward game to help the institution and should not have to sacrifice pay.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Now, Jeff Passan, in his article last night, he brought up the possibility, all things considered, you might have other networks jumping into the fray and saying, we have advertising money we want to spend for these baseball broadcasts because it's all that's going on. That could help mitigate the losses, but needless to say, and I'm totally underselling it, there's a lot to overcome for this to become anywhere close to a reality.
Yeah, no, there are, but I think what's happening here that's exciting me is that Major League Baseball is being really progressive about this, and I think there's a unique set of circumstances applying to Major League Baseball that might allow them to do something like this. The timing of it is different. The weather in Arizona clearly is foreboding in the summertime, but that might actually help if high temperatures suppress the COVID curve in places. That might actually be a benefit or a selling point. How do you monetize it? I don't know, but I do think that on some level, Major League Baseball is, they've got to look at this and say, this entire season, no matter what we do, no matter what our play happens to be, this whole season's getting asterisked. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. So liberate yourself from all expectations and from all the things that you think you need from Major League Baseball and kind of throw some stuff at the wall and see what works. It's a massive undertaking, but I don't know what Major League Baseball has. Like I told you, the other plan that they've got that was told to me is that they wait it out. They hope that maybe you can that this is going to flatten out. Start spring training restart in the middle of June. July 1st, the games begin without fans. August 1st, the games begin with fans. Now, there's no guarantee they can get to that point.
No, there's not.
Because now we're talking about teams flying and athletes who fly from city to city. As we saw in the NBA, they start becoming super spreaders, and you don't want that either. You can't have sports contributing to the problem.
No, it's supposed to be kind of a salve for what ails the country right now as opposed to that. Absolutely.
So it'd be a great thing to experience. It would be an interesting thing to see how they would make it look. It might turn out to be one of those, not just, you know, they call it the show. They might end up calling it something a little different. But I sure would like to see it, and I'm excited by it, and I think it would, Just the idea of seeing live sporting events replacing reruns is going to be a big thing for this country.
Well, here's another part, perception of the players. Not necessarily the, oh, I don't want to be away from my family, but I just Jared just sent me this tweet. Mike Puma, who covers the New York Mets for the New York Post, tweeted out today, one Mets player who asked not to be identified has concerns about the idea of 30 teams playing an entire summer in Arizona. Quote, it's the desert, he said. Stuff doesn't live there. It dies there. That reminds me of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was 7 years old, and I told my second grade class that my family was moving to Arizona, and I heard, they don't have any indoor plumbing there. All the streets are dirt, and there's tumbleweeds everywhere. I mean, if you play for the Mets, you've been to Arizona in the summertime.
Oh, of course. There is going to be, there already is, there's a lot of anti-Arizona bias out there because as a state, we're not held in the highest regard, and people on the East Coast are probably thinking, why can they do this? Why are they allowed to do this? Why are the rules different for them? I think there's a lot of that factored into this right now. Because if you're living in New York City right now, it's kind of hard to conceptualize Major League Baseball taking place.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're just talking about having facilities, anywhere in the country has enough baseball fields to have enough games to play. But you're talking about Spartan facilities. You want to be playing at a junior high field in Iowa? No, you don't. These are at least the closest. This in Florida, which has been hit harder by the coronavirus, these are the logical scenarios or logical locations where this could actually work as close to major league facilities as possible.
But you know as well as I do that there will be an incident. If say they run by this model. And I said this yesterday, you're going to have to secure the perimeter so fans don't come in. You know there's going to be some yo-yo who finds his way into the stadium, and then it becomes an issue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's those plans that you've got to work out against. Because as much as you would think that people would respect the sanctity, the barriers that would have to be in place, not everybody thinks clearly.
No, that ain't that the truth.
Isn't that the truth,
yeah.
Right?
You know? Coming up next, head coach Cliff Kingsbury of the Arizona Cardinals spoke to the media today and did his best to quell some fears about something that's hanging out there for his organization. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta on this Tuesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Applicants David Johnson deal. Have both players completed their physicals? Is there any concern that might not be finalized before the draft?
There's not concern. Those aren't official as far as I know at this point, but we'll get it done. There's obviously the medical field and personnel have much bigger fish to fry at this point, and so it's been slower than it would be, but I have no doubts it'll be done before the draft.
That's Cliff Kingsbury during a Zoom video conference with the media today. Scott Bordeaux of The Athletic asking the question about whether or not that deal has been made official yet, and it has not. Cliff Kingsbury answering the question, there is no concern. Does that quell your fears, Dan Bickley?
Yeah, a little bit. And maybe my fears were irrational, Vinny, but it's one of those things where the trade looks so good on paper for the Cardinals, you just want this thing to go through. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll bet you there might probably some Texans fans who are just hoping that it's the exact opposite. The language of Bill O'Brien throughout all of it makes it pretty clear that there's no coming back for DeAndre Hopkins, and to hear Cliff Kingsbury say that makes me happy too. That means that somehow, some way, these physicals are going to have to get done, and they're going to have to get done before the draft because there's draft picks in place here.
Mm-hmm. That was the statement from Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, the only fear that remains, and I hate to be the guy that says it, I mean, failed physical.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. There is that.
But how much concern should there be when you had two players who you know, finished the season relatively healthy? I don't think that's much of a concern.
Yeah.
We did hear a little bit from DeAndre Hopkins on his Instagram Live account. Talking about his new team in the Arizona Cardinals.
Why I go to AZ? AZ is one of the best organizations in it. Number of great things about them. You know, a lot of veterans, a lot of my friends that's played there, you know, have number of good things to say about the organization. The owner, the players in the locker room, you know, so it's a classy organization. It's an easy decision.
Easy decision. But, again, I mean, he answered the question, why Arizona? Because they traded him to Arizona.
Right, right.
I don't know. I mean, that's one thing we don't know at this point was DeAndre Hopkins. You know, we heard Bill O'Brien's side of the story. Arizona's deal was the best that was on the table. I still find that hard to believe, quite honestly. But did DeAndre Same. Hopkins have any influence on Bill O'Brien choosing Arizona? Hey, I want to go there. We don't know that, but that answer kind of indicates that maybe that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Houston Texans were in position where they traded DeAndre Hopkins for the reasons Bill O'Brien said, which is he wanted a raise and we were not equipped to give him that, then I don't think they'd go out of their way to accommodate him in terms of where he wanted to go. I honestly believe, from Bill O'Brien, from what I hear in his voice, from what I've heard about him, he's a guy that wants to be Bill Belichick, and he wants the control and the power, but he's never won anything, so he doesn't get the sort of buy-in from players that Bill Belichick does. I think David Johnson's personality, the fact that it's become a running joke on this show that he's actually a really great guy, mm-hmm. I think that's what made him the trade partner with Houston. Because yeah. I think that's what, and the fact that he plays a skill position and the fact that the Texans need that obviously plays a point, but I think the fact that he lives to serve his coaches and always has, I think it's very, very appealing to Bill O'Brien. So I thank you, David Johnson, for being a great dude. And I mean that.
Yeah, another new Arizona Cardinal that is official. He has been announced, and that is Jordan Phillips, the free agent that they signed on the contract, 3 years, $30 million from the Buffalo Bills. He met with the media yesterday, and he answered that same question. What drew him to Arizona?
I had about four teams, and Arizona was somewhere that I knew if it didn't work out with Buffalo, that Arizona would be a place to be. They're a young, talented team, kind of how Buffalo was a couple years ago. They have a young quarterback, rising star, and also Chandler Jones was a big part of it as well. I wanted an elite pass rusher next to me so we could try and cause some havoc.
Yeah, and then he expanded on that, what having Chandler Jones next to him could mean for him in a Cardinals uniform.
Oh, I mean, selfishly, it's going to take double teams away from me and help me get free. Also, it's just when you have somebody like that that's averaged, I think, over 15 sacks for the last few years, is you don't seem like a concern, I guess. So all focus on him, and I just get to do my thing, but also get to open up lanes for him so he can go do his thing, and hopefully we can be a dynamic tandem.
Is it just me, or does Jordan Phillips sound a lot like Max Starks?
Yeah, he kind of
does.
Yeah.
There are certain words that he says that sounds like Max Starks.
Ask him a Marvel question.
I like what I'm hearing. Jordan Phillips is saying all the right things, but like Wolf was saying this morning, all three of these guys that Steve Keim have added to the defense, you hope they're going to work out. They look on paper like they will, but you don't know for a fact. You just don't. You know for a fact that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be an impact player because he does it every year. So I don't think there's any question about whether DeAndre Hopkins is going to be worth the trade or worth our time. I think he will be.
And I know one of the questions about Jordan Phillips has been, okay, look at that production. Was that, okay, here's a guy playing for a contract, or was it something else? Well, he answered that question pretty distinctly yesterday.
Nothing really changed for me. I just had more of an opportunity. A lot of people think it was some miracle or I was playing for a contract and et cetera. But I just had more of an opportunity. It was my first time in my career being on the third down group. I had a lot of opportunities to get more sacks and just be more productive. Buffalo did a real good job of utilizing my talents, and they reaped the benefits of it last year.
And now the Cardinals add Jordan Phillips to the mix. By the way, Jordan Phillips is going to join the show tomorrow. We've got kind of an unofficial player check-in day tomorrow. We've got a Cardinal, a Coyote, and a Diamondback all coming on.
Do we really?
Jordan Phillips, Connor Garland, Nick Ahmed will all join the show tomorrow.
Wow. who stole our producer and replaced him with a go-getter. Sorry, that was really uncalled for.
I think I've been shining the last few weeks. We've had like more guests than
no,
ever.
No, you
before.
Have been. No, yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Everyone not having anything to do and being able to go after anybody sort of like opened things up.
Yeah,
it's a brand new me.
I would agree. You have been shining in the last few weeks, Jarrett, but when the bar's on the floor. Oh!
Easier to step over.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I've been in situations where the bar's been on the floor and I've tripped over it before.
And
so.
and you unveiled a game that we're going to play again today. Mustache or no mustache?
I got to tell you, when Jarrett brought up the concept for mustache or no mustache, I was like, oh, come on now, really? It's one of my new favorite games.
All right, we'll see how round two goes.
You want a completely random observation? Last couple of days, Major League Baseball, the network, has been playing classic baseball games, classic World Series. So they were playing the 79 Orioles versus the Pirates, which I love that World Series, but it took place in two dumps of stadiums. So the visuals, it just
Three Rivers, it looks
ghetto. It looks bad.
Well, in the 70s, though, were there any good stadiums?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, Dodger Stadium was around.
Other than the ones that are still around, yeah.
Today they're showing the Tigers and the Padres and the old Tiger Stadium. It was a dump, but it was very imposing. I used to love old Tiger Stadium. The random observation is, I cannot believe how many hitters in Major League Baseball used to have exaggerated closed stances. That is to say, their left foot or their front foot is way towards home plate than their back foot. You know what I'm talking about, Vinny?
Yeah. I didn't watch the game, so I didn't have that same observation.
Yeah.
That is pretty specific.
There's a guy who played for Pittsburgh. Remember Tim Foley? F-O-L-I?
Tim Foley
choked up higher on a baseball bat than anybody I've ever seen. He's basically halfway up the bat. Random observations.
When you bring up that World Series, to me, the first thing that stands out was the uniform matchup.
Yeah.
Because there was at least one game where you had two teams in 1979, and this was unheard of, two teams wearing solid colored jerseys. The Orioles were wearing an alternate orange jersey, and that juxtaposed against the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Who were wearing black jerseys with yellow pants.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the most colorful World Series, but maybe not for a great
reason.
What's
the Thursday night football games? What do they have? The color?
Color Rush. Yeah,
it was Color Rush World Series.
It was. Some of those combinations that the Pirates wore at that time were just outlandish. Coming up, we've talked a lot about Major League Baseball's possible return. Where's the NBA in this whole process, if anywhere? We'll get into it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta.
Essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decision. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be.
That's Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, kind of updating where his league is in this whole possible return to play. And he's, for reasons out of his control, obviously, I think he's becoming less pinpointed on his message right now. I think the NBA is kind of just throwing their hands up to a certain degree at this stage of everything.
Yeah.
Because of, again, the fact that, you know, that sport has been hit hardest, at least publicly, by coronavirus effects more than any other sport. I think they're in a different position than most of the other sports.
I think you're very right about that. I think the NHL and the NBA are kind of in the same proverbial boat, but the NBA has got much, much more lucrative television contracts, and they're losing much more money from that regard than the NHL is. So I think there's that, but I think the way you phrased it is perfect. I think the NBA, they're kind of throwing up their arms right now. For a while, they were sort of leading the league in ideas and things they might be able to do. And it seemed like, of all the commissioners, Adam Silver would be kind of the guy who would piece something together. But I think there's a lot of stuff in play here. I think there's a lot of guys who don't want to do it. I think NBA players are probably the most, what's the word? I don't want to defame any of them, but I think that in the age of empowerment, optimum working conditions have become very important to NBA players, and this certainly doesn't qualify. And I think NBA players, the leaders of the game, they're so wealthy to begin with that they might not be motivated to come back just to crown a champion. I don't know, but I do sense exactly what you're sensing. That the NBA is probably pretty close to pulling the plug. More, I'd say they're closer to pulling the plug than actually doing something.
I've definitely got that feeling, too. And Brian Windhorst has been pretty vocal about the discouragement that's being felt around the league in terms of possible return plan. From that same conversation last night, here was Adam Silver. And the NBA, you know, you're against a ticking clock here in terms of what happens, this year and how it affects next year.
For the first week, first 2 weeks, we were looking at more specific scenarios in terms of if we start this date, what will that mean for the regular season? When would the playoffs begin? When would they conclude? And again, what I've learned over the last few weeks is that we just have too little information to make those sort of projections. Sorry. I will say, though, that as I look out into the summer, there does come a point at which we would start impacting next season. Now, even there, I think a few weeks ago, nobody thought we were talking about even a potential impact on next season, independent of what we might choose to do to finish our regular season and playoffs.
It doesn't sound all that encouraging.
No.
But he also updated on where the league is in terms of, we've talked about a lot of, some people would call them outlandish concepts for Major League Baseball. What about NBA? What are they listening to? Here's Adam Silver on the possibility of single-site games/tournaments.
I mean, there's been a lot of conjecture about various cities and places that might hold a tournament. Would we go to a single site? Again, we're in listening mode right now. We've been contacted by many of those jurisdictions to ask what our level of interest is, and we've talked to them about what their capabilities are. But once again, it's just there's too much unknown right now.
Yeah, I wonder what that tone's going to sound like next week when Adam Silver speaks publicly.
Yeah,
you know what's interesting?
What's that?
Is between Buster Olney and Pedro Gomez, they gave us like six different changes that baseball might be making to the game itself when it comes back. None of the other sports are really considering anything that changes the actual gameplay. That just shows you how either far behind baseball is or how uninnovative it is.
Well, I don't know about uninnovative, but it's not resonating with young people. Kids are proof. Buster Olney's kids are proof. Vinny, your kids, does Brandon like baseball?
Loves it.
Okay. Your kids are different. Your kids are they're like their dad. They're very big sports fans.
If Buster Olney's kids don't like baseball, what chance does like a regular kid have?
Well, it's like, and again, it's like my boys aren't into any sports. So not being into baseball is not that unusual, but I do know for a fact when I've taken them to Suns games versus Diamondbacks games, their level of attention, they're ready to check out a baseball as soon as they get their ice cream sundae.
But to Jarrett's point, he is correct. Major League Baseball has been talked about along those lines more than any other sport. But nobody's watching the NBA or stopping their viewing of the NBA because, it takes too long. There's not enough action or the pace of play.
That's right.
Same with football. Major League Baseball, they'll never come out and publicly say this. They're looking for a reason to change these things, and this might be a perfect opportunity for them to jump off this diving board.
Well, and you know why that is? I'll tell you why I think that is. I think it's because they know that there is a train coming at them, and that is a generation that doesn't like baseball. baseball, and they have to change it, but they don't want to do it because people who love baseball don't want baseball changed. And more to the point, the diehards that they have on the hook, they take offense to Major League Baseball changing their sport. Mm-hmm. And so they don't. So that's a tough thing to kind of navigate, to kind of get through. But they've got to do it. And so this might be the best year to kind of shoehorn some of those changes in.
And if you just erase all the logistical situations with both sports, you got the NBA on one end of the spectrum when it comes to optimism, and Major League Baseball on the far other end.
Right.
It's just two different feels today with those two different sports. Coming up next, 1 o'clock. Break out your textbooks. It's social studies time. We'll do it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.